Well, yeah, those three movies, I love them all.
You like those?
Yeah, because okay.
The first one's amazing. On a level that I'm just like, I'm totally comfortable saying it's probably one of the best comic book movies I've ever seen.
The first one?
Yeah.
You think the first one's better than the second one?
I honestly think.
Are you talking about the first one, as in The Dark Knight?
Talking about Batman Begins.
I'm talking about Batman Begins. Batman Begins is honestly, out of the three movies, it is the most well put together movie. It flows the easiest.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like from a direction standpoint, that movie is much better. But like from an entertainment standpoint, like yeah, Dark Knight is fucking amazing.
I think Dark Knight was the best at reaching an audience with its intended message.
Yeah,
I think Batman Begins was a little bit of people says. I think it was also not marketed well, and it was very, very like that movie was out for like months before I even knew it existed.
Yeah,
and I'm a comic book guy, so.
I feel like I just forgot about it after the second one came out. I can't even really remember much from the first one.
To be honest.
I understand that, because the entertainment
aspect. And I'm not a huge fan of, like, yeah, I'm not a big comic book fan and stuff like that, but the second one was dope.
Well, like, it's
see that part where the Joker was in it? No.
And that whole part where he was in it, man?
You know that guy died?
That was so crazy when that happened.
That's so sad.
Well, hey.
Heath Ledger, man.
Welcome.
He just fucking, he put work in.
He put so much work in on that role.
Welcome to the Name Redacted podcast. We are down one this week, but up two. So,
yeah.
I'm going to say this because I'm doing the intro. I am your host, Chris Nielsen, and joining me today is your other host,
Alexander Fulmer.
So when you say we're down one, is it Colin or Jeff that don't count? That just don't even fucking
count? Clearly Colin doesn't matter, right?
Right?
Jeff talks so much that Colin can't get a word in edgewise.
I mean, if we're gonna have that scenario, then yeah, the guy who says 10 words per episode counts more.
With us again is infrequent host,
infrequent
regular
host.
Guest.
Question mark?
Question mark my ass. Interabang.
Interabang.
John Michael Thomas?
And
would it be infrequent host?
And joining us are the hosts of the Open Micers podcast, JD and Micah. You guys want to introduce yourself?
Yeah.
What's up?
We didn't do that well.
Yeah.
You guys tried, and that's what's admirable about it.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like, all right.
Do you want to go?
No, you go first.
All right. I'm Micah. I'm just a sensitive guy. I just have feelings, and that's all I want to say about them.
I have all of the feels.
I'm JD, and I co-host the podcast. So.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the podcast. It's cool, man. We just talk, and then stop talking. It's crazy.
For those of you who are long-time listeners, like, I guess that's appropriate now because we've done this for over 2 years.
Over 2 years.
Yeah. And we do not have the number of episodes to reflect that.
But we've got 80 some odd people listening to shows that we do.
Like some of them are like a little bit more. Like I feel like since we do panels at places, it's okay that we don't have like crazy huge numbers of episodes.
Yeah.
But for those of you who have listened for a long time, JD's returning.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
JD is a returning guest.
I was jealous of that. Yeah,
I was trying to find the episode I was on at work, but I couldn't.
It's on there.
I couldn't do it because you guys have two podcasts on iTunes.
It's
like
on both of those feeds.
Which one is it, though?
Well, JD's not good at the internet.
This is
good because people listening, in case they're confused, we're trying to spin everything off into a network. We've been talking about that for a while. If you look up Name Redacted Podcast on iTunes, it'll come up with possibly two different podcasts. If one of those says Counterproductive Network, that is all of the shows that we put out on the network. The one that says Name Redacted Podcast is this podcast and the first episode of new shows that we're putting on the network. So
okay,
it's a little confusing right now because I haven't changed the album artwork for the
Yeah, man, I was like, I'm looking at the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's different.
Yeah, but it's like so different.
Have you guys ever seen a thing that's the same thing, but it's a different thing at the same time?
You like, what?
It's not the right thing, but it's the wrong thing.
it's a very frequent thing in my life. This is right, but like, it's not really.
Are you guys on iTunes and stuff?
Yeah, man, we on that iTunes.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
You can listen to Drake and then us at any point.
Yeah, if you choose to.
And then go back to Drake. No one's going to stop you.
Do you guys have trouble getting on there?
No, it was like really. It was like a bunch of formatting stuff. It's like we had to. I looked up like this YouTube like outline how to do it or whatever, and it was like, don't even try without having your pictures.
Yeah,
like this certain size. And doing all this thing. Yeah. I had to like get the file a certain size wise, but then it had to be like
JPEG.
Yeah, but it had to be it was like a whole thing. Yeah. It took like a whole day to do.
We got our original feed like banned from iTunes and had to totally redo everything.
Yeah, because I was scared. Yeah. I was scared of that happening.
Okay, gotcha.
So I made sure I like got it. Exactly how they wanted, but it said it was going to wait 2 weeks, but it was up in like 4 days.
Yeah, the past couple I've went up in like a couple hours.
Really quick.
Yeah.
Quick. Also, what's kind of funny is I just now remember this. The first, and if I'm not mistaken, maybe the only, no, not the only episode, but the first episode I ever had to edit something out of was the episode JD was on.
Yeah.
What happened?
We made some really untasteful. Yeah.
What he took without repeating what was in.
No, like, okay, look.
Somebody made
overview.
A joke that they. Because we were talking about, since we're allowed to be a little more explicit on the internet than we are sometimes, like, at open mics or something.
Yeah.
We were going around talking about jokes that were, like, pussies. Too blue for the stage.
Oh,
and one of those jokes was, like, too blue
for the podcast.
I honestly do not remember what
it involved. A very sensitive issue that's commonly debated in comedy.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So. Don't even talk about it. Like,
I'm gonna start guessing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But guess in here. Don't guess out here.
Yeah.
Like, use the brain.
I really don't want to have to edit this one, too.
So. I'm going 2 for 2, man. Get double edits.
Next time, I'll just get an edit button just to bleep out anyone who starts saying anything.
Like, how did you edit? Did you put in, like, something funny to, like, cover
it? There's no fade, no nothing. I found two breaks that worked. Yeah. Where it was like everyone laughing, and then I just spliced two laughs together, and I was like, "This works."
Which, man, you led us to like a moral conundrum. Actually,
was it me?
Because we know I think
it started with you.
It was a few comedians there.
I think you did it.
Stuff starts with JD. I will
capers
say.
Ran away with it.
Nah, I'm not dirty though. So I'm trying to think of like what I'm not dirty. Micah, don't
it
give
wasn't
me face.
Dirty. I don't like.
I'm trying to think. Of, what? Oh. I remember what it was. I'm not even gonna say nothing. I remember what it was, though.
Yeah.
Cool. I remember what it was.
Great. Now,
the joke is still funny as shit. I don't care what anybody says. The joke's funny as shit. You might not like it because you were that person back
then. No, but you made us question ourselves because, like, our whole thing is like, we don't edit this. And then we're like, man, we can't.
You made me question my podcast morals.
Like, is this ethical to leave it? Is it like, more ethical to take it away?
Because as soon as the issue was brought up of whether or not we should leave it in or not, in my brain I was like, fuck that, leave it in. And like, but out of my mouth, I was like, no, we should be a little sensitive. And in the back of my head, I was just like, you're a fucking sellout.
You're a sellout.
No, man.
Sellout your own podcast. Also,
the
Einstein's
opinions of Neighbor Doctor guests
are not associated with the hosts or the show itself.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody should really associate with JD, to be honest. But.
Yeah, Mike is like my biggest hater / best friend. Like, it's crazy.
This nigga
don't fuck with me, but he's always around me. Like, he won't go away.
Well, because I just imagine.
But he can't stand
me. I can handle your shit better than any other human, so I know when I'm not around, you're doing it to someone else. I'm doing
your
service for the rest of the community.
I'm chill. I don't care.
So that's just your weight to bear?
Yeah.
I'm chill. I actually.
It's an actual bear's weight.
I actually brought you on in the library.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
What
if I just keep him in check.
What if this whole time you're keeping him down just so you could keep him to yourself?
Yeah, I mean, don't say it too loud because I think he can hear you, but...
He's so good that no one else deserves him. But I deserve him.
Sounds like a friend zone situation.
I'll be honest with him.
Like, I'm just going to scare away all of your potential suitors because if I can't have you, nobody can.
Yeah. That's some Lifetime shit right there.
I tell him I'm happy for him, but I'm not. I don't mean it at all.
Oh, you made a new friend? Fuck that guy. Yeah. I hope that guy falls off a bridge.
I bet he's lied to you. Start messing with him. It's like,
I'm just chill. I don't be doing that.
It's the worst part.
I mean, I go to work and I either go to a mic or I go home. That's it.
That's all I can do right now.
One day I got mad to the point of sweating just thinking about him chewing something.
Yeah.
Like, just the thought of him chewing something was just pissing me off. I was like, oh my God.
You should meet our friend Rob.
Jeez.
No. Yeah.
Okay, see, the thing is, Mikey got stuff about him that I don't recall out. Like, if he's rolling a blunt,
yeah.
You know how sometimes you get little weed, like, seeds or like crumbs or whatever.
Yeah.
He just spits them wherever he is. I'm like, dude, you easy get a trash can.
That's how I mark my territory.
I mean, he'll look down and spit. He's aiming.
Just like watermelon seeds and like sunflower seed shells.
Yeah,
just
he's like, it's a very clean home he has, and I disrespect it
all the time,
openly.
The carpet looks like a great place for fucking like roaches.
Yeah, I should put my saliva down there.
You need a little spittoon so you can like dry it all out and then pack a bowl.
I think you need a little spittoon just so you can look at JD before you spit and go and just stare at him, and then it goes bing.
Yeah. The old Wild West.
I always thought about that. How much force would you have to hit that motherfucker?
Fucking rain.
Like, it's all like
ding.
It's like God, it's the loudest thing on the episode. They're talking
strong
ding.
Jaw.
Yeah, you got
strong jaw.
It came from the back of your throat. Like,
that's been waiting for him.
Yeah,
that guy's got lungs like a fucking elephant. Just,
yeah, he had to like whip his neck.
He goes to the fair and he plays the game where you shoot out the star and he's like, no thanks, I don't need a gun. I got some dip.
Heaven forbid he misses the thing, take someone out.
He's an assassin. He's just looking at people shooting them.
There's a bunch of holes in the floor in the bar he goes to. And it's like, is there a shootout here? No, Chuck is just really bad at hitting the spittoon.
He got a strong jaw. We don't know what's going on.
He's always chewing bubblegum. At all times, then he just swallows it.
This motherfucker is all about winter fresh.
He's going to have the biggest snake in his stomach in like 7 years.
That's a lot of force, though. It's like a BB gun or something.
Yeah, but sticky.
Yeah, but sticky.
Made out of gum.
Yeah,
you soak the pellets in like fucking molasses.
It resonates metal well.
It's a perfect resonant frequency for metal.
Yeah, it just keeps going. So what got you guys into podcasting? How do you do? Or we can talk about the show or whatever. We don't even have to talk about the show. We can talk about what the fuck ever. But
no, we can talk about.
I mean, it's Micah's idea. Like, I just knew the people to get it started. He had the idea. I just networked.
Who else had it?
It's me and him are the hosts, but then we have a different comic on every episode. Yeah, or
episode three was Capers and Reed.
Yeah,
Capers and Reed.
Yeah.
I just want to point out, like, I'm so glad. Like, I was so glad when I heard we were doing a second one of these, because like the first episode with Reed, Capers, and JD was so good.
Yeah,
like all of us loved it. It was the most fun we'd had on the podcast so far. Everybody who listened to it was like, "That episode was great." Yeah. I was like. And so, like, this was a real treat for me when Chris was like, "Yo, man, JD and Micah want to come back on," and I was like, "I'm sorry, what?" And I got real excited, and there was that nice little surprise where like we weren't sure whether or not everyone knew each other, and then I was like, "No, I know Micah." And that was a real nice surprise too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just cool in general. Like, we just started one, but it was just an idea, and it's cool to like, all right, now I'm on another one. I'm like jumped over to a different cool thing. I mean, we've only been doing it.
No, we've been working on it for like a couple months.
About like 3 months total, but it's only been out for the past like month and a half.
But you got like 5 episodes out?
6.
Episode 6 came out today.
And it just really started with, we just started comedy in the past couple months I did, and he's been doing it for 2 years. And I just really got interested in like being a real big fan of comedy and then transitioning that to being like getting on stage and writing jokes. And I just figured that there's a lot of other people out there like that, because there's a lot of people that go to open mics all the time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, most open mics start at 8 o'clock, all on the East Coast. And then an hour later, across America, like, open mics are going on all the time. So there's just, like, this huge group of people just about starting in something new. We also had a couple other people on that do, like, different.
Yeah.
Like, they do different, like, they do, like, arts in a different way. But they're just starting out as, like, a photographer you know.
And that's actually something we try to focus on this show a lot. And actually, the panel in Winston-Salem, it was interesting because the conversation kind of got hijacked that direction. But
it really did.
You know, as somebody who is pursuing a career in a creative field, there are things that you learn over the process of doing that. And there's sort of a few mentalities about it. You know, you got some people who just want to go and tell everybody everything about what they're doing, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got a second type of person who wants to keep it, the magicians, right? They're like, oh, you get one apprentice and you can't ever talk about magic except for the people who already know the trick and not one person.
Yeah.
It's Penn and Teller and like one other guy.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Like the rigor, right? Like,
yeah.
And then you've got a third school of thought. Or four, I'm bad with numbers. But the kind of the school of thought that I subscribe to is
thought
like,
C.
Man, like, I know how to do this stuff. Like, I wish people were telling me how to do stuff when I was like 15 so
right.
I had a good outlook on the world. And there's a lot of people who don't even think about that because they're so like involved with what they're doing. But like, I feel like that's a really good way to like pick up fans and stuff too, right?
Yeah.
You know? And I always heard stories about like, you know, like Trent Reznor starts to like kind of make it and he's like, hey, what about Marilyn Manson? And then Marilyn Manson explodes and then Nine Inch Nails explodes even more.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, rising tides, and I really like that mentality, and I'm glad that you guys kind of support that idea of like, nah, let's just get a bunch of funny people to do funny stuff, and then we'll have a bigger audience for everybody.
And it's always an easy conversation because it's easy for people to talk about themselves because it's what they know the best about. And just and like to start a podcast, all you had to do was say, "All right, I'm a podcaster," and then just do it, and now you're a podcaster.
You,
like
you literally need
it's all about
something
people
to record and access to the internet.
Yeah,
good.
You got it. You know what I mean? It's just about people that want to. Do something that's not like work a job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like something that they believe in.
Yeah.
Well, it's like in the age of the internet, it's easier to be like an artist that gets a following like more than it ever has been.
Yeah. Or
like,
Twitter.
In history.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, with just like how many websites there are out there to like, if like, regardless of what type of art you do, like if you do visual arts or photography or whatever, like there's a place where you could put it and like spam it at people.
Yeah.
Unrelentingly.
And people can see it.
And people, like,
it's not just can't see it, have to see it.
Yeah.
They're forced to see it.
It's to the point too where like, people are followed, and they're not even an artist. They're just a personality now. It's like you have to.
It's almost
taking
over the idea of like a debutante. Now
yeah,
you have these like internet personalities that sort of.
Yeah,
like, who's Paris Hilton? I don't know. Who's Cutie or PewDiePie? Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Now what you got? Instagram models now.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Like
regular girls with nice butts.
Like no, like these are fine girls. They never leave their house. They say, "Send me your clothes. I'll wear them. I'll advertise them."
Yeah,
and then
a lot of people see.
And then people will buy that shit because I'm wearing it. And I got big breasts. Like that's how it works.
You like boobs? I just happen to have.
Yeah, but you got Instagram comedians, you got Instagram actors. Like you got.
I just found this out. They released a full episode of Rick and Morty on Instagram in 30-second increments.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Is it on their like official Instagram?
Yeah.
I have to check that out. That's
it's
so
one
sick.
Of the scenes from the opening intro of the show, too. So it's
okay.
Like in that, and it just never went to TV. It's only on Instagram.
Nice.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's really sick.
Yeah, which I think is really smart. They did a lot of cool stuff. They did something, too, where they had this like game where every time you went to, they had like a bunch of pages registered, and each page was 9 pictures that made one big picture. Mm. And then you click on it, and it goes zooms into that one picture as you're zooming into the map, and then it has things that are tagged. So, like, one of them, you're on the moon, and there's this moon base. So you click on the picture with the moon base, and then the moon base is tagged. You click on that, and that takes you to another page that's just the 9 pictures on the inside of the moon base.
Yeah.
It's this, like, interactive game that they built with the mechanics of Instagram.
That's crazy.
Okay.
You ever sit around sometimes and you're like, man, I wish I was smart. You know what I mean? Like, you wish you, like, came up with, like, we come up with stuff I feel like that's cool, but not, like, interactive games with an app that's not a game.
Yeah.
I didn't come up with Space Team, and I should have.
Have you played Space Team?
No.
Oh, you will.
Space Team is great.
Space Team. It's the best party game on your phone that ever existed.
What is it? You on your phone, you get an instrument panel for a spaceship. And at the top of the screen is a spaceship flying away from an asteroid. And in between the two, there's instructions. And you say the instructions out loud because one of the people on your team has that on their panel. Maybe it's you, maybe it's not. But it basically plays out like, you know, like in a space.
There are dials and buttons
and
stuff. Like,
so it's like,
it's
pump the hydraulic barometer.
And
right?
Somebody
and
will have that on their
yelling
screen.
These crazy weird sci-fi words and everybody's having to find them on their instrument panel and
escape
this like incoming doom.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay. That's
cool. One time I just came home and there were four, Alex wasn't here. By the
way. I was at work.
Alex wasn't here, but like four of his friends and Alex's girlfriend are sitting on the couch. Just yelling at each other. Like, and like staring at their smartphones, yelling bullshit out. And I was just like, what?
What did I walk home into?
You guys have been brainwashed.
So everybody gets the instructions? Like, everybody.
Well, everyone gets different instructions on their screen. And, like, so if I have one thing, John might have something else, and Chris might have something else. Mm. So if I have one that's, like kick the flux capacitor, he might have the flux capacitor on his screen,
meanwhile,
and he has to hit
I'm telling him to crank the ionodrive drive to 2.
And he has to, like, if he has it on his screen, he has to turn the ionodrive drive to 2. And then he'll scream something out, and if I have it on my screen, I have to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes it's not your
It's all at the same time?
It's all at the same time. Yeah. It's everybody just screaming over
how's it have? How does it have, like... How you get things done though? Like how does
that's the gameplay?
That's the game.
But I was saying, how's like so if you everybody does their thing, then what? Yeah. Like level
well, you
two?
Pass the you pass that's the level if you go
everything's,
if you do everything.
Everything's
you
on a timer.
Okay.
And you have to outrun the incoming asteroid for like X amount of time.
All it's right. not even really X amount of time. What
well,
it really
how
is how it's like it's basically like it seems to be a point system.
Yeah.
Like so if like you get them all really early. Then you're just like, you're done.
Yeah, but if you
you're
miss
good.
One, then you gotta get like two extra. It's
yeah.
not really explicit like that.
It doesn't tell you what the formula is, but there's
okay.
clearly like
yeah,
a formula too.
Okay,
yeah.
gotcha. Yeah. And sometimes you go through an asteroid field and everybody has to shake their phone at the same time.
Or you go through the wormhole and you have to flip your
phone
upside down. Sometimes
yeah.
the panels get goo on them and you have to wipe the goo away from
yeah,
the panel.
They get loose and you gotta like spin your phone like screw
and
back
and
in.
Like, it's fucking
okay,
goo.
I fuss with it.
See, yeah. but I feel like the people that run that app are like, look, we're controlling your minds. Look, do you see? We put these little like colors and lights on their phone and they're running around shaking their phones.
yelling at each other.
Ha ha!
Okay, so that's an interesting question, and this is something I think about a lot, like, philosophically from a creative perspective, is, like, what's the difference between, like, because, like, you know, I'm an alternative musician, you guys are pretty alt comics, what's the difference between using entertainment to manipulate people into free thought, as opposed to using entertainment to manipulate people toward, like, consumerism, and, like, how much consumerism is okay when you're, like, a non-commercial entertainer?
So that's a very
that's
deep
a loaded
question.
Question.
Yeah, for to ask six questions at one
time. yeah.
We'd like to take this time to throw it over to one of our sponsors.
Yeah.
Thank you, Zebra Stripe Gum.
yeah. yeah. Nah. What do you mean about consumerism, though? Like,
as an entertainer, if you want to do what you're doing full time,
yeah.
you have to make revenue,
yeah.
right? And some of that's going to come off door sales, and you know, like as a comedian, you might get stuff off like a special, or as
yeah.
a musician, you might get stuff off, like selling T-shirts or whatever.
Yeah.
But I guess it's sort of like. How much selling out is okay before it's just like, oh, you're selling out and manipulate? Like, I don't know. Like, maybe Dane Cook.
I would define selling out.
Maybe Dane Cook believes he has some, like, profound idea that people should, you know, feel and resonate with. But, like,
my thing is,
that way.
And maybe I just say this now, it's not that I don't believe in selling out, because I guess in, like, the sports sense I do, but when it comes to this stuff, if someone wants to pay me some money to talk about some gum or to talk about some whatever, and then
yeah.
I can still do comedy and now I have more money and just can live cooler,
yeah.
I wouldn't see that selling out. I was like, I'm using an opportunity that I got. But if
yeah.
it's like, I mean, I guess if it's like you got to say some, you hate gays.
Yeah.
Like,
there's
you chew
a
this
level.
Gum. Like, there is a level, I guess. But if it's like not really compromising who I am, I guess I have a low bar, is what
okay.
I'm saying.
yeah.
I'm down to make money and have fun, you know what I mean?
Who's not?
I'm about that cash, is what I'm saying.
Well, when you're talking about, like, just consumerism, like, I think the line gets crossed when you start selling something that's, like, a fraud. Like, if you're
yeah,
a guy,
okay,
if you're
yeah.
a guy advertising, like, just a product that, like the gum, for example.
Yeah.
If you're advertising gum, it's like, somebody who's going to buy gum is, like, not going to be like, this isn't gum when they get it.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're advertising, like diet
pills yeah.
or something
right.
that's, like, that actually doesn't work,
yeah.
like, I feel like then, like, you're responsible for, like,
yeah.
because you put it out there and you personally...
Like Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, see, that could be funny,
yeah.
though. You blow up as a comedian, but then you only endorse shit that's fake, but everybody knows it's, like, fake as fuck. You just endorse, like, off-brand.
Yeah, but
yeah.
they gotta, like, be in on the joke then, though, right?
Yeah,
right.
I guess
that's
what
like,
hey,
maybe that's part of the act.
Yeah, man, it's probably like, hey, I'll endorse it, but my fans know, don't fuck with that shit.
Yeah, my fans know, the podcast,
it's,
don't fuck with it.
It's toxic. It'll kill your kids.
Maybe
like,
that's
the Marvel guy's fans smart enough to know that it's a joke, though. Like,
no. There's plenty of people that think that's how they. That's not a character.
But also, you can easily look up the character he tried before Larry the Cable Guy on YouTube. And
yeah.
See.
Yeah.
So I don't know how anybody can think that's really him.
Oh, based on not doing
know.
That,
he's
like
really
a
good in like impression.
Motherfucker is like from Ohio.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. A lot of people don't care to know.
They're like,
yeah.
oh,
seriously,
he's
like
funny,
if you look at the Duck Dynasty guys, they just take that at face value.
Oh, yeah.
And those guys are all like, you know, white collar conservatives.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like super clean shaven, and they were like, hey, if we talk like rednecks and grow out a beard, we can make a lot of money.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can.
You can't.
And that's what they did.
Their dad happened to be just like he was, but everybody else is putting on a face.
Yeah. But I guess the other, more to the spirit of the question, since we answered the consumerism side, I guess the other side to me is like the ethical side of like, what makes me think that my point of view is right enough, or I'm strong enough feelings in it, that I can then use the same tactics that other people are to try to influence people's opinion.
Yeah, I guess I just don't see it as my comedy as like influencing an opinion as much as I would if it was music.
Right.
I understand what you're saying, but...
Yeah.
It's kind of like... It's kind of what comedy is...
Or you guys... I guess you guys probably focus more on like a... More of a social commentary kind of vein where it's like... More
jokes
about what's happening.
Well, no. I relate to this more in the sense that like doing hacky stuff. Like... I don't know. Like, what would you describe like doing like lowbrow stuff that you
are you talking about... If you say something like you ever been fucking this girl, or you ever been to the supermarket, like if you start off with something
with
reminiscent,
with
something reminiscent, like we automatically know you about to go,
like when you're like, women are crazy, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just like, don't let me
shopping.
You know
what my wife said last night?
Yeah. She always disrespected a brother. Yeah, I gotta keep my pen hand strong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, if I was, to answer your question from earlier, if I was making money doing that or doing my comedy and not making money, I would rather do my comedy just because it's not worth it at that point, because then I just feel
that
like
that shit sucks,
myself.
Man. That shit's
terrible. It's not gonna feel good.
You won't want to do comedy.
So I guess that's where the line is, but you're talking about some gum for money.
I'll mention some gum.
Yeah,
I'll mention a lot of shit.
I'll chew the gum.
I would love to chew the gum, but it doesn't last long enough for me to chew it. So.
Oh, that's a sponsor. We can't talk about how long that flavor lasts in that gum.
So
the
a
flavor
lot of
never goes away. You
don't
forever.
Like flavor in your mouth. Chew zebra stripes.
You know what? There's some truth to that though, because like zebra stripe.
No, zebra stripe is like,
it's like
go for like 15
like
seconds.
A punch
like,
in the
for
15 face.
Seconds, you're like, I'm about to eat all this gum.
But and then that, you have to eat all the gum.
But you're like, why is this like solid water in my mouth?
It's like
solid water. But it's so good for 15 seconds.
Yeah, I feel like the pack like looks like it's gonna be good, right?
The zebra's like, look at you, like, you want this.
This is what candy life is about.
That zebra seems to know what he's talking about.
He's looking over his glasses
and
like
it has
this.
It has that chalkiness to the strips. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It has that chalkiness.
Yeah.
It's like the extra powdered sugar.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Layer.
It might as well be flour. I have no idea what it is.
The zebra is part of this unethical advertising.
Exactly.
Man,
the zebra sold out. Zebra's like, yeah, nigga, I'll talk about some shitty gum. I don't care if it's chalky. complete water in the mouth.
See, like, it's solid water, man.
It's along those lines. Like I kind of thought about this for a long time in terms of like the idea of selling out and stuff, because you can see it in different places and different mediums and like certain people selling out in terms of their art form. And like there's nothing to me that is more selling out than what you just said, which was instead of doing something that like speaks to me and is like my own real creative genius kind of thing, what I'm gonna do is, I know a shit ton of idiot people love this, so I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna make fuck tons of money.
And you got there's a split just like that in comedy, and I'm not gonna say no names, but the thing is, if you go to a comedy club, you'll see the people who are like, I want money. There's a formula to making you guys laugh. I'm gonna do that.
Yeah.
Give me some money.
And
then you got people who are like, then you got people who are like really trying to say something. They're like,
people who appreciate
the art. And it's not funny only because they're really like sharpening that joke and they're really like pushing through to make it good.
Yeah.
You know. So I know a lot of people who try a joke one time, it's not good, scrap it.
Yeah.
They put no work into it.
And my thing is, too, I do feel like that I wouldn't do that. I don't feel like I couldn't do those hacky jokes and take the money. But I honestly wouldn't knock someone else for doing it, because, I mean, making money telling jokes is kind of crazy.
No, my
anyways,
thing is,
so if you're doing a way to like really be lucrative.
If it was somebody who started doing comedy and loved it and then like said, you know what, fuck trying to do what I love, and I'm going to switch over to just doing some shit to get money, then I'd be like, all right, man, like, I can't fuck with this dude. But I know a lot of people who say, I'm going to get into comedy to get money because they want to transfer it to, like, actors or writers and shit like that.
Well,
so
but here you go. Here's a perfect example of somebody who sold out who I don't hold anything against. Bob Saget.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Bob Saget sold out
on a big
level.
I never found Bob Saget, but he did Full House. And I'm not saying I personally think he's funny or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, he is true to himself in his act.
Yeah,
but then also to this TV show, they got him exposure to increase his act where he's still doing everything he owns.
Yeah, true.
I don't think his stand-up is funny at all.
It's just disgusting.
That is just crazy. I was like, how many cuss words can you say in a minute? Good God, Dad? Like, he's the dad. I'm like,
Danny Tanner. Yeah.
I'm like, for real, dude? And he's just like, yeah, fucking cunt pussy shit. That's how he talks.
It's even worse when you see it, like, when you hear his voice narrating How I Met Your Mother, because you're just like, I know this voice, and I know what this voice usually says, and now I just hear this guy in, like, white suburbia, New York, just being like, fuck ass pussy shit. And then you're just like, that's Bob Saget's voice, but he's not saying
that. I'm just like, this is so terrible. Like, I hate it.
It's not good, but like, at least he's doing it the way he wants.
See, it's on the same level as that Chris Tucker special, in my opinion. Like, they both brought people out to see the show, but it was more so like, good for you, Chris Tucker.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It's like, good for you, Bob Saget. Like, you're still on your feet doing stuff. Yeah. Nobody came because they're comedic geniuses.
Yeah, and it's not
like, you know, I liked you back in the day, and I still do now. And so I'm going to give you
$20. Yeah, exactly.
Rush Hour was fun.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that.
Friday was the shit, man. Friday was
You were the donkey in Shrek.
And there's always somebody in the crowd. There's always one dude in the crowd who's like, man, say Craig. Just say Craig one time, man. Say Craig.
Come on, Craig. And so you're not being critical in the fact that you don't think it's good, but it's in the sense that he has to know he's not moving the culture. He's not moving the culture of comedy.
Thing is, I know he worked on it because he came through Greensboro, like, I think last year or like some time ago to the Comedy Zone to work on his act, to do his show and, like, get better. So I know he's been trying, but he's so far removed from the hunger.
Well, yeah, and just real life in general.
He's flying a plane to comedy shows and doing open mics.
Yeah.
Or open mic shows. Yeah. He's not
carpooling. He doesn't need it.
Yeah.
He doesn't need it.
He just kind of wants it.
He can sit back and collect fucking checks from selling old movies and he'll be set for life. He does not need it. He just wants to stay semi-culturally relevant.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And it's fine. I mean, it looked like he had a good time.
It was honestly, if you look at artistically, it was honestly nice. Like an... hey, say homage or homage? Which one is it?
Either one works.
Yeah, whatever. It was one of those to Richard Pryor. Like it was a very Richard Pryor-esque show. He was doing the voices, the movements, the walking back and forth perfectly.
Yeah,
and it had moments. The Michael Jackson shit was funny as hell. I love that.
Yeah, it definitely had its moments.
What would you guys in a world where you guys both get to the point where you're culturally relevant and feel out of touch? What's your next move as a comedian?
If I'm culturally relevant but out of touch,
yeah. So you kind of get to that point where people know who you are, but you're not doing comedy.
Well, you're Chris Tucker.
Yeah.
No, but the thing is, Chris Tucker was doing the acting thing. He should have got back into doing another movie. But if I'm a comedian and I'm culturally relevant, I'm gonna keep doing stand up. Like I'm just that's all I've ever.
What he's saying is like you're just like flying planes and living cool lives.
You're doing jokes and you're like, I know this is funny.
I know people appreciate this, but this doesn't really feel like the reason I'm doing this.
It's like how like you know you ever notice how like real pro comedians will just talk about experiences they have with a weird person that they met while traveling.
Yeah, I know you mean
like they all have that. I was talking to this guy and he did this crazy shit and they blow it up and they kill it, but it's not like. I was at this job, suffering, doing this thing that relates.
It's like the David Cross thing where John showed me this David Cross skit where David Cross is talking about like being in the South and shooting guns, and he's in the South telling the story, and he's like,
"No, it wasn't David Cross; it was Bill Burr."
Bill Burr. Bill Burr talking about being in the South and like going out and shooting guns with people and stuff, and he's like, and he's telling part of the joke, and then he gets to a part where everyone is quiet in the audience, and he goes. See, everywhere else in the country, people laugh here, but you guys don't. Because he's talking about how he was taken out to shoot guns at cars that was just broken down.
He was talking about how he said the .22 is the perfect home defense gun, and like people in the audience were like making noises, like disgruntled noises, like they thought that you needed a bigger, more badass gun. And he was like defending his opinion, and then he talked about like how he had like. Opportunity to shoot a larger gun, like when he was working for the, I think he was like landscaping or something before he made it big, and like he went to take the gun and like I was just like, you want to shoot it at this old car down in the cul-de-sac? And he was like, yeah. So he was like talking about how he shot it, and as soon as he pulled the trigger, all he heard was boo. because his ear is just like cut out.
Yeah.
He's like, I pulled the trigger 5 times, but I didn't hear any gunshots.
I don't know. You got to make yourself do something uncomfortable. Like, I don't ever see myself getting to the point where I'm so out of touch I'm not hitting the mics like that.
I feel like people fall off. But something, I'm glad you asked this, because I've been listening to a lot of the Archfear podcast, and he's kind of like hit some upstart success. And he was talking about how he's not going to go on the road anymore. He's just going to stay in New York and do local spots, nothing over an hour for an entire year.
Yeah.
Because he says going on the road and traveling as much, that's how, he never sitting in one place and like having real experiences.
Yeah.
So maybe that, if I was ever to that point to where I was like, I could go on the road whenever and then I could also stay, maybe doing something like that, I feel like that was pretty good advice. Just staying like...
You gotta shake yourself up, like the whole thing.
That's why airplane jokes are hacky, because comics were always... Yeah. Traveling, and it's right. Like, okay, everyone has an airplane joke because that's all you know.
Yeah. If I got big in America, I would just go to England or something like that and start there.
Well, it's funny because, like there are certain people that are able to do hacky jokes that and make them not hacky. Like, Patton Oswalt has an airplane joke that's amazing.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, there are obviously exceptions to the rule.
Like, well, and there's a certain amount of the fact that part of the here I am talking about comic theory, because what's funnier than explaining jokes? hey, man. Part of what is funny about that is the fact that it is hacky, and he is an alternative comedian, and so that's then almost part of the joke at that point.
Yeah, it's
meta, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, but that's true of, like, any type of, like, entertainment form, is that if you're familiar with, like, the tropes and stuff, if you could take something like that and turn it around into something new, then, like, that's creativity.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a funny dude. I didn't like his last special, though.
Which one was his last one?
I don't know. He did a dick joke about Florida, and I was like, I can't watch this anymore.
About how Florida looks like.
I was watching 2009 special today.
It was his latest one. I mean, he's a funny dude. I mean, he's bound to have a bad special.
Yeah, he's a great joke writer.
But I just couldn't. I don't know.
I think the last one I heard was the one that he had right after he did the fucking like KFC Sad Bowl thing.
Oh shit!
Yeah, like I saw like that.
Is that the same one with Sky Cake?
Yeah.
No, that's the one right after Sky Cake. Okay. Sky Cake is the one where he does like is the airplane one essentially.
Oh, okay.
That's
the best one. That's forever his best one to me.
Alex Former is Patton Oswalt's autobiographer.
There are two of his specials.
Are you an apologist?
Probably. There are two of his specials that I just love, and the one you're talking about is called The Weakness. My Weakness is Strong. And
yeah.
That one is in my opinion like. His best one, yeah. You're right.
I was watching it today, and shit was funny.
That's really good. Sky Cake shit.
Sky Cake. Right, Sky Cake. No Sky Cookies or Sky Baklava. it's so good, and like the way that he ends it is great too. Yeah. Like it's all really well put together, and I do love it. It's a fantastic piece. If nobody's ever, or if anybody on here has never heard it, please go listen. It's great. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Probably on Netflix. So.
It is. I think I was watching it today. It is on Netflix for sure.
You want to play that game?
Yeah, I really do want to play that game.
What's the game? I explained to them the basics of...
Okay, we can explain it again for the listeners at home.
A confusing world.
So, for those of you who don't know, I have this coworker named Reginald. Or Reggie for short, and he's just not very smart, and I don't know how he graduated high school, but he did, and so I work with him at my place of employment.
Y'all are roasting this dude right now.
Yeah, no, he's aware. He's aware.
He's
stoked
about it. He wants to be a part.
Like, he was told this shit happens, and he was like, "Cool,
cool, bro." I would agree that I would be the biggest asshole if I was taking this material and not letting him know, and just fucking like
exploiting
putting this
him,
out
yeah.
on the internet, exploiting his stupidity for
look how dumb this
for,
kid is.
For the $0 that I'm getting. But I told him, I was like, can I take this? And I was like, can I make this a book? Like, well, I'll split the money with you, but can I do this? And he's like, yeah, sure, man. He's like, yeah, no problem.
No problem.
He probably called me the N-word because he does all the time.
Typical Reggie lifestyle. Yeah,
that's
you know Reggie.
We really want to have, we want to make some Reggie t-shirts.
Oh my God.
We want Reggie to come and be on the fucking show.
Oh, get him.
Yeah.
He said he would. I was like, Reggie, you wanna do a live one? And he was like, hell yeah, I'll do a live one. No problem.
Yeah.
Like, so...
That's sick.
Bro, if y'all get Reggie, man, we gonna get Reggie. I'm a contact. Like, listen, bro, you funny as hell.
Yeah, you're awesome. I see that you want to start new things, man.
I really want Reggie to be the, like, Hide Your Kids guy, where he's just like accidental famous.
See, I was gonna sit down with Reggie and have like a dictionary. And be like, all right, Reggie, what's
what it is what's reminiscent mean?
Well, that's essentially what we do. Is like John takes suggestions for words. John's gotten suggestions from me for like tons of words. And, like, he asks Reggie, and then Reggie tells him what he thinks the word means, and then we guess what a dumb person would think that that word means.
Okay.
So not just Reggie.
Not just any, Reggie what Reggie would think.
Because he definitely has a certain tone. It's not necessarily...
Reggie's stupid is not normal.
See, what you guys should do, you need to get a soundbite for, like, new guests so that you can be like, here's a clip of him in his prime. And then be like, this is the guy we're working with.
So yeah, what's an example one?
Let me get inside the mind of Reggie.
Okay.
So that you can understand, like, what we're dealing with here.
Okay.
So,
please do juice. Give me the
juice. Oh, yeah. So, like, the first one I ever asked him, terminal velocity, and Reggie's best guess for what terminal velocity is a subway going fast or going through a tunnel real fast?
A subway going fast
or through a tunnel real fast?
A subway terminal.
Oh, God.
Yeah. There's, like... Almost
a logic,
like,
there's a logic to it.
I see it now. It's weird, like a game. I see it. Yeah, you gotta get it.
My favorite though is juice.
Let me find juice because I gotta quote it.
Okay. Juice is real good.
Right,
it's my favorite.
Juice was.
So you just was like, what does juice mean?
I wanted
this one was prefaced.
At
I love
this point, I was kind of like, I wonder how low because I was at first I was asking him stuff like. Terminal velocity, like what asinine means, what invertebrate means, what hypothetical means. Like, you know, we were going with SAT words, and then like I was like, "What? How low is the bar?"
That's it. How deep's the water?
So I threw juice at him, and we got.
He was off balance because he was like terminal velocity, whatever. Okay, deal with
asinine.
That. Asinine hypothetical juice. Do I know what juice means? Because I'm in a corner now.
Like, I think I know what that means. Yeah. Why is he asking me?
Yeah,
this?
Yeah.
We got freshly squeezed fruit in a 12 to 16 ounce cup.
So it's like.
It was like he was. I was listening and I was like, all right. He's getting it. And then he threw in this weird specification that threw the whole thing.
So if it's 17 ounces, it's no longer juice.
It's not juice.
Tell him what it is.
So at that point, according to Reggie, it's artificial. If it's too much. It's artificial.
Oh God!
If it's too low. It's from concentrate.
Okay, it's weird. It's like
we
live in a world.
Yeah. Well, yeah. John lives with me, and we were walking through the house like 3 days after he told us this, and like.
No, I did this before we did the juice on the show because Alex had this jug of lemonade and I was like he knew juice was a word that was going to be on the thing.
Yeah.
And I was
I'm pouring lemonade.
He's pouring lemonade and I go, according to Reggie's definition, that's not juice.
and I put it down and I just went, I can't.
That's not juice.
I looked at it for a minute and I was like, I kind of know.
So if it's okay, if it goes from like a giant, I'm getting philosophical. If it goes from a giant jug to a cup, so it goes from artificial to juice.
Yeah.
And then once you drink half of it, it's concentrate.
Yeah.
Oh shit!
Welcome to this kid's life.
It's like the changing states of man.
But that's how he sees the world.
It's like gas,
right?
Ice, and
that's why the game is called the confused world.
I want to point something out. That kid makes more money than John or myself.
Currently, yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
No, he makes $14.50 an hour.
Someone's got to make
what?
The money.
Yeah. He got promoted a while ago.
Promoted? But he's like, I don't give
a
fuck.
He's this guy all the time. It's not like a smart switch that kicks on. Like, Reggie has a good work ethic, and like he does his job well.
And he probably doesn't question anything.
Right, right.
Oh, he's doing the army.
He should join the army.
He's doing army.
No, he shouldn't because I need more of this.
we can't lose Reggie.
Yeah. More valuable to us than the country.
So
yeah.
Many military terms I feel like would fuck him up.
Corporal. Can you tell me what a barracks is?
Yeah.
What's a barracks?
Oh, can we at the end of the game, can
oh,
we recommend
I'm
words?
I'm sure that if we threw barracks
yes,
at him,
absolutely.
He'd be like, it's that place that skateboarder has out in LA. It's private skate park, the barracks.
Yeah. I think it's next door to Rob Deerdeck.
A plus.
Oh God!
All right.
Okay, so the way it works is we have a list of words, right? And we
right.
get to pick what word we want.
Right. I'm gonna start reading them out, and when you hear one you want, just say like that one, and I'll write it down.
Okay.
So Invertebrate is still on the table.
I'll take it.
You'll take Invertebrate? Mm. Thank God. I've been waiting.
All that is like diligent notes. Like, ah!
It's also important that you heard that, because like there is a certain like Reggie-ism to it. It's not just like he's got a certain tone of voice.
There's also certain points in time where, like, after we've done this as many times as we have, like, certain words we know they're going to be real good.
Okay. Yeah. You just got a feeling about it.
Yeah.
We have Omen. Did we do Omen? Because I don't...
We did not do Omen.
I don't remember doing Omen.
Omen, Hypothetical, Unorthodox.
I kind of want to do Hypothetical.
Okay. No problem.
I think
we gotta think like Reggie for what he would say.
Yeah.
You have to think, like, I think one of my favorite ones was actually the very first one we did Centerfold.
Oh, yeah. That one's fascinating. Yeah. Centerfold, because he heard... Okay, so Reggie heard... And I gave this as a clue. In some rap song, he heard text from a centerfold, but I didn't answer it. Or it was like, but I didn't even call her, though. I didn't even read it, though, or something that. And he was like, so, John, what's a centerfold? And I was like, what do you think?
Nice. So it was a back and forth.
Yeah. And his guess was a girl you don't want to talk to.
And what my guess was before he told us this was a girl that is so fat that she has folds in the center of her body.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a girl you wouldn't want to talk to.
Yeah,
exactly. So I won that round.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just so you understand, like, the game, it's like the person who's closest to Reggie's definition is
okay.
So it's like you don't have to, like, nail it spot on, because that'd probably be fucking impossible.
I don't think one of us could do it.
There's been some pretty close
ones. Close ones, though. My girlfriend got one that was almost right on the fucking nose once.
Psyche. Ingenious.
I'll take Ingenious.
Ingenious.
Well done, Micah. Good call.
Let's see. Expedite. Futile.
I'll take Futile.
Futile.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so excited for this round. You have no idea. Okay. Oh, and if you win, John gives you a special beer.
Yeah, I'll give you a beer.
Okay.
Winner gets a beer.
Okay.
All right. So I guess let's start with Invertebrate. Alex, what do you think Reggie thinks invertebrate means?
I think that he thinks it has something to do with, like, with vert ramps.
Vert ramps?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I know he's a skater.
Sure, sure.
Am I doing invertebrate?
Everyone does all of them.
Invertebrate. I think he thinks it's some type of, like, vibration when you're also upside down.
Okay.
So you need to be upside down.
That is so good.
But it's like, maybe if you were hanging upside down during an earthquake, he thinks you'd be experiencing an invertebrate.
Okay.
That is so good.
See, I was about to say when you masturbate upside down.
That's a different shake.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, that's good.
That's almost too smart.
I'm like, bro, can I think like a dumb person? I'm like, I don't know.
That's the hardest part of this sometimes is like you push it too far every once in a while.
Yeah.
When you stare into the abyss stares back into you.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
This is a dangerous road I'm taking you all down.
Invertebrate, he feels, is something along the lines of like falling on your head.
Falling on your head. Nobody's quite there yet.
Do we have a clue?
Yeah, can we get a clue for the second go?
Okay. I'll say that Reggie was, like, closer than I expected to the real answer.
Okay.
It was like, this is one of those ones where, like, he was, like, on the track, but still dead wrong.
Okay, got you.
He's in the right scientific discipline.
Animals without joints.
Animals without joints.
Was he just like, is that the thing that connects your shoulder to your knee?
Micah did what I usually do, which is I say it in my Reggie voice.
Yeah, which I never, I don't even know what he sounds like.
I've never met him either.
John's the only one that's met him.
Puts the shoulder to the knee, is that what that is? That's what I think.
I was like, the thing that keeps your body straight.
Okay.
Worms.
Yeah.
I kind of hope Chris wins.
I think I'm gonna give this one to Micah.
Oh, okay.
So invertebrate, according to Reggie, is a cell or group of cells in your back pertaining to the spine.
Okay, yeah. Right. But I was like, not even. I was like,
you're a vague as shit.
I was like. like vague in specific. It was like shoulder, knee, and then in between.
Sometimes it's weird because like he tries to give crazy smart answers.
but like you're just like.
All right. Where the like what? Like what he, fucking medical journal are you reading?
And it's like he's clearly heard the word used before, and just like gets the context completely all kinds wrong. Of weird.
Except for that one where I told him what the word was, and he goes, "I ain't never heard of that one."
But where was?
Oh, that's a trick question.
Sovereign.
I think yeah. It was
oh
sovereign.
Come on, Reggie.
I gave him that one.
Yeah. Come on, Reggie.
And he was just like, "I ain't never heard of that." I do enjoy doing it in my Reggie.
Yeah.
My
Reggie also every once in a while, Reggie does get it read.
What?
Okay. Has he gotten any of them so far?
He's either been like he's been within striking distance.
Okay.
Striking distance.
Yeah.
Like
in the same room.
Above my expectations.
He was in the same house one time, man. Yeah.
Hypothetical. Chris, that was your word, so we'll start with you.
Okay.
Hypothetical. Why did I choose this word?
Sounded like a good idea at the time.
It did sound like a good idea at the time. Somebody who is really excited and talks a lot is being hypothetical.
Okay. JD, what do you think hypothetical means to Reggie?
Someone who's like real bad at business, like hypothetical business practices.
Okay.
Ooh.
Somebody really bad at business.
I just feel like he would have a little bit of a grasp what hypothetical meant, so he'd be like, I think that's just a fake ass nigga. I think that's it. I just know if someone's being hypothetical, like fake. He's a fake. He's fake as shit.
See, I was thinking he was confusing with unethical.
Okay, yeah.
I think Reggie thinks that hypothetical is something that's just like really interesting.
Something that's really interesting.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Hypothetically.
I think Alex is closest.
Oh,
what?
There you go.
Hypothetical to Reggie means a thought or question. Which
okay.
is like...
Yeah, it's
let me
that's
ask you this,
part.
Hypothetically.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Reggie.
See, like,
I see what your game is.
Yeah,
now, I want to just note, like, because like you heard the juice definition, and that one was like incredibly specific, and then this other word is just like super vague. So you never know, like, how hard into the word.
And sometimes he tries to sound it out, or sometimes he knows the word. So sometimes it's just like terminal velocity. He's like, oh, this is due to the subway. But
yeah,
the other
exactly.
times it's like hypothetical, where he's like, I know what this means. Sorta. But
question.
Like,
he also apparently will take cues from like the way the word sounds sometimes.
Yeah.
Like if the word sounds like it's a bummer, he'll be like, oh, it's like something sad.
Yeah.
Like
just,
melancholy.
Yeah.
He'll be like, oh, that sounds like a bummer.
Yeah.
He's
like
not
bummer.
Good.
This
I know
that.
He was sovereign. He was like, that sounds like a sad word. So that's like a person who's like stuck in a well.
Yeah.
I wish I was smart enough to make this up. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm not good enough.
Ingenious. Micah, that was yours. So
okay,
we'll
start with me.
Yeah.
I feel like he's like, he thinks that's when like a group of cars get together and there's a bunch of engines and then there's like ingenious.
Okay.
What?
There's an engine.
There's
like
an engine.
Yes. About
yeah.
it. I think he went engines.
JD, what do you think?
Smart dude who stays inside.
Smart dude who stays inside.
An
ingenious.
Not an out genius.
That's what Reggie was saying, bro. It's not an out genius.
Yeah.
I know he's smart, he's inside.
When you say genius, the out is
let that
mind.
Smart motherfucker out.
Yeah, he's only a genius in his mind. He can't show anybody.
Chris strokes his face pensively.
Well, I'm trying to think of times she would say, like,
I want
to
play this
the
game
word
with
ingenious
Cadillac Man.
Casually. Be like, oh, that's. Oh, we'll come back to Cadillac Man.
Y'all know Cadillac Man?
Yeah,
we'll talk
come
about
back to that.
I'm Cadillac.
Ingenious. I think he thinks it means cool.
Cool.
Like awesome. Like
okay.
That's ingenious. That's a cool thing.
Okay.
That's how it sounds.
I think he thinks it has something to do pertaining to someone's genetics.
Ooh.
I'm really.
Am I?
I'm believing the engine thing still.
No one's really like.
Fuck.
Oh, let's get a hint in another round.
Okay, so this one it's hard to give a hint.
Could you use it in a sentence?
He would use
it
in a sentence.
Yeah.
Oh man, I thought of one that was funny, but it would like be too
obvious.
Too let me think for just a moment.
I was really hoping it was the jeans thing.
My second guess was he thinks he's like when he's wearing jeans and he sees a bunch of other people wearing jeans, then you guys are being ingenious. It's like who's wearing jeans? Us.
Well, that's like just not right, but like along the way you like to think of it is like ingenious is like, you know, like in that classification of species. Ingenious.
Indigenous?
Like genus is, you know, like when you biological classifications.
Yeah.
Oh, genus. Then you have the genus.
Yeah. Oh my god, man. Ingenious. Come on, Reggie.
That's
someone's curveball.
That's not it.
That's not it.
That's not it.
No, I was just. Oh, that's the way Micah is attacking these problems.
Yeah.
I just wanted to
say. Do you have a clue or do we just need to take another stab at it?
Just take another stab at it, please.
Okay.
Oh man. I can't say that on a podcast.
Dude. Y'all got way more rules, man. We just say fuck off.
We're white cis dudes, and I'm right-handed, man. Like Eddie.
Only thing I have is fucking tattoos, and that's like that's not really a thing.
I dye my hair blue sometimes, but it goes away. Like.
I think it's a person who's too smart.
Person who's too smart. Okay.
Maybe he's thinking the opposite though. He thinks like a genius is a smart person, but an ingenious is like I think it's dumb.
All right.
Ooh.
He took my shit.
Oh, I took yours.
No, I still want to go with like he's thinking about indigenous peoples. He's like, yeah, like, but he's like, I'm saying it faster, so like them ingenious people. You know what I'm saying?
So, the ingenious.
He's like, I'm ahead of the curve. You guys behind.
Chris,
I'm gonna play it straight. I'm gonna say he thinks it means clever.
Clever. Okay. Micah is right on.
Damn it. Whoa.
Okay. Wait, what? The answer is the opposite of a genius.
That was good.
What? Fucking nailed it.
Nailed it. That puts Micah in the lead.
Me and Reggie just kindred spirits, dog.
Which brings us to our last word.
Unlike anyone in this room, Reggie did not go to college.
Feudal. That was like futile.
Futile.
Not feudal.
Not like the feudal lords.
Yeah. So, that was your word, so take a stab first.
Yeah, I think Rage would say like three tiles.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
A few tiles. Three tiles.
All right.
Dude, you gotta have like an extra prize if someone gets it first guess. we gotta stop the podcast forever. If someone gets it first guess, you just blow up.
There's a dead man switch under your chair, we blow the seat.
Yeah, man,
along the same lines, I think he means that futile is like an FU tile. So it's like a welcome mat, but like, fuck you.
Okay.
Fuck you, welcome mat.
Oh, man.
Don't think too hard.
I know, it's the problem. Some shit that's too hard.
That's too hard.
Okay.
Like difficult?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Not like rigid.
Like a futile effort. It's too hard.
Some shit that's too hard.
Okay. Yes, I think I'm going to go the other way. I think we'll think of some easy shit like, shit, it's futile.
You're just going to keep guessing the opposite thing and it's just going to be right.
Yeah, it's like
if Reggie didn't know sovereign and he knows futile, I'm going to be highly upset.
So, no one's like real close. I'm gonna throw out a clue.
Okay.
It's something that can happen while you skateboard, since that's close to Reggie's heart.
Oh.
He's a black dude, right? He's a black dude. Cause y'all kept saying with different shit. You're like, yeah, man, he likes to skateboard, but he's saying the N-word a lot. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah. And then he was like, he likes white women. Once.
I'm like, dude, stop saying things.
Paint a picture
on the opposite side.
Fried chicken, watermelon. Okay.
This is the greatest dude I've ever seen.
Yeah. His credit score is great, but he just loves chicken like a lot. Just a lot, dude.
He pays really child support, like, but he ain't got no kids.
Oh shit!
Too soon.
Yeah, really. Oh my god.
Like a wipeout, like you fall down, like okay. Something like that.
All right.
Like, dude, futile. Like, oh shit. That was mad futile, dog. That was crazy futile, bro.
You lost all your teeth. That was futile.
That was the biggest futile I seen all week.
Yeah. Your little futiles are on the ground. You have to like, get a futile doctor and put them in your futile mouth.
Why don't you be like a move or something?
Yeah.
I'm going to say he thinks it's like gnarly.
Okay.
Like, yo, that shit was futile. That fucking handrail on the tenster. It don't get more futile than that, dog.
Yeah.
I can see him going out with his buddies this weekend and saying that shit. Oh my god.
Do you, I have to ask the question. This is an important ethical question. You do inform Reggie of the actual definitions of the words afterwards,
if
right?
If he asks.
But no, Chris, I knew that answer was coming because that's like the first thing I asked John. I was like, do you tell him? And he goes, I mean, if he wants to know, yeah.
Yeah.
God,
you, what you should do, hear his guest, give him the real definition, and see if he has a rebuttal.
Yeah.
Like, nah, that doesn't make sense, because everybody would be wearing jeans.
It would be us. I think he thinks futile means, oh man, something that just did not go right.
Something that just did not go right, okay.
You said something with skateboarding.
Yeah.
I feel like anytime there's any type of like security involved or someone stopping them skate, they're being like they're futile or like that's a futile offense.
Oh, I get you.
You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. He just thinks it's,
oh my god, that's right. Oh my god, that's right.
You're wrong. JD hit it.
Oh god.
Futile means badly injured.
Okay. Right. Maybe he's thinking fetal.
But like, the thing is, but okay, I'm feeling bad because somewhere out there, Reggie's like screaming futile, and people are not knowing that somebody needs help.
Yeah.
Somebody needs help, but he's like, no, futile. They're like, is it futile to help him?
This is futile.
No, it's futile. Man, it's futile.
Yo, man, my ankle is futile.
Futile right now, man.
Some doctor walks by and he's like, no, your ankle's broken.
I got diagnosed with cancer, dog. That's futile.
That's futile, man.
That's doesn't even
I
matter.
Mean, technically it's futile, but you shouldn't say that then.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You should say terminal. You should say futile.
That makes Micah this week's winner.
Well done. Woo! Yeah. Well done.
I mean, what can I say? I smoke blunts too, and I like white women.
Maybe that's all you need to
understand. Yeah, that's to understand.
Dude, one of my favorite things is just hearing stories about Reggie. It's real funny.
Wait, how y'all know Cadillac Man? You can't.
Oh, okay. So,
no. I know Cadillac Man because he pulled his penis out on stage at the Laughing Gas Comedy Club.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and he like got banned or something like that. But he's got like a Cadillac Man modeling page on Facebook.
Oh, that's
and I like that shit immediately. And I watch this nigga pose by Cadillacs all day, every day. So
we talked about this with Reed. Cadillac Man is either the most out of touch person or the most inspired genius comedian ever.
Yeah. Nah, man. No, don't say comedian, bro. Don't lump it in.
Here's the thing.
Performance artist.
Here's the thing is that we went to a show at the Laughing Gas Reed was performing at one time, and we saw Cadillac Man. I had two amazing, amazing things happen that came from that experience. First thing, I was outside, and I was smoking a cigarette waiting for everybody to like kind of clear out. And Cadillac Man, for those of you who have never seen him, was drunk as fuck during his set.
What's his catchphrase?
I'm a sexy motherfucker.
That's his catchphrase. You can't understand anything he says until he goes, I'm sexy.
Yeah. So I'm out there by myself smoking a cigarette. Cadillac Man busts out the door, just like, bah! And the shit just swings open, slams against the door, and slams closed, and he's just doing that drunk hobble shit. And the parking lot is fully filled up on the right side, and there are two cars alone on the left side of the parking lot. There is a Subaru and a Honda. A Civic and, like, a little hatchback.
Yeah.
And Cadillac Man talks about how he loves his Cadillac and drives his Cadillac and starts hobbling towards the Subaru and the Honda.
Yeah.
And I sat there and watched him with a cigarette in my mouth, and with no one around me, I went, please fucking get into that Honda.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh,
yeah.
Like, I will have the best day if this guy drives a fucking Honda.
I wonder if he, like, sees Cadillacs out in life and he's like, oh, shit.
No, like,
the Cadillac.
No, like, but then he gets over to the cars and he looks at one and he looks at the other and he goes, and turns and just walks towards the other cars. And I was like,
he thought this
could you camera. Not tell from back there that neither of these tiny fucking cars were your Cadillac? Like,
Are you drunk and need glasses?
Like, your entire existence is based around the car you drive.
That's rough.
You're just trying to get in the wrong car.
Yeah. And like so, and then this spurred what I thought. Like I've been thinking a long time about doing a 5-minute set, and one of the things I wanted to do was go to the Laughing Gas and do a little bit about Cadillac Man.
Yeah,
because I wanted to be like, I don't know if anybody here has ever seen Cadillac Man, but I feel like it's all just a show. He's not actually yeah. drunk. I feel like he goes to the bar and gets grenadine and soda water, and we all think it's scotch. And then he gets out, and he hobbles to his car, and he gets in, and he cranks the car up and drives home real normal and goes, well, hello, Gwendolyn. It's good to see you again.
Yeah.
I just came from the comedy club, and all of my friends thought it was a great hurrah. Yeah. I'm going to go get a nightcap and go to sleep now.
He's just yeah. an insurance adjuster.
Yeah, like, he's actually, like, the most ingenious fucking
he's
comedian.
He's worked
like,
on his character for
that. That motherfucker commits to the bit.
That's
like,
some method like, acting right there. That's
ingenious or, tough. Like, ingenious?
Yeah, what's ingenious?
That's a little
Does
bit.
Does he think he's not being smart?
Little column A, little
no,
column B.
No, man, Cadillac Man's crazy.
He is.
Cadillac Man is insane.
Like, what? I mean, you gotta keep.
How did a dick come out?
Yes.
During
I mean, I was not there and I saw the video.
There's a video of
yeah, there's a video,
bro. Dumb.
But the whole thing is just he's doing his usual like not good set.
Yeah,
and then he just pulls his pants down. Like, it's not like a thing. It's not like a big lead up. He's just like, oh, you motherfuckers ain't paying attention. Oh, how about this shit? And just whips it out. Like that's Cadillac Man. That's what he does.
Like,
is he a sexy motherfucker?
I have to wonder, like, because when I was watching him,
you know, Frank Zappa would put out a record of his stand up.
Yeah, absolutely. I got really confused when I was watching him because, like, every once in a while you heard chuckles and he responded to the chuckles. And the chuckles, I don't think he even realized, like, they don't think you're funny by the jokes you're telling.
Yeah.
They think you're funny because you're an absurd human being.
Yeah, yeah, they're just uncomfortable
yeah,
at laughing.
Yeah, they
make
him nervous, yeah.
That
like,
is
they're
such a tragedy because that's like, if you're familiar with B movies, like, there's that infamous B movie called Troll 2. And,
yeah.
like, it was written and directed by this foreign man, and, like, now the movie has a huge following, and they, you know, they do events.
Because it's so bad.
And, like, he goes to these events because they're his fans, but he doesn't, like,
It doesn't click with him that they love it ironically.
Yeah.
Like
so he just thinks they all just love
they,
it.
He thinks he made an, well, he thinks that he made an amazing movie. He thinks that his movie is a work of art and it's beautiful and amazing
yeah.
and perfect, whereas all these people love this movie because some people love shit movies because they're funny and fun.
Yeah.
John and I, that's one of the
yeah.
things that like made us be like good friends when we met, was we love shitty movies.
But is
yeah.
that like, I don't know if that's sad or not.
It's a little sad that he doesn't realize.
It's definitely sad.
No, but at the same time, he did, even though it was not his intended purpose, make a legitimately good movie.
It was like, yeah,
it was
like it was so bad, it was good.
Titanic.
I feel like
you
don't
think legitimate means.
That's what I was about to say. You just Reggie'd the word legitimate.
Well, no, okay. I mean legitimately good in the sense that
people
enjoy
it. Yeah, but see, I think he made the movie because he liked making movies, not because he thought people would enjoy it. And then he thinks people would enjoy it because they like what he made.
Right.
So he'd be like, oh, you don't like it, you're just coming to see it ironically. It's like,
but they do like what he made. I mean, they're buying t-shirts, they're buying the movie, they like what he made.
It's like that Asian dude who got on American Idol. It's the same thing. Like, we like you, but nah, dude, don't come to my house.
Like, you're not.
I'll come see you, but don't ever get around me because I don't roll like that.
Like, I would love to see you. I'd love to see you on like, TRL every once in a while.
Yeah.
When I'm a fucking teenager, but like I'm not gonna buy your album because it sounds like a cat getting fucking slammed against
the
wall.
We're not hanging out.
Like,
that's
no, like,
it.
Well, it's like a lot of these people who are like actors in these old B movies, like they'll go to like conventions for them, and they, you know, they're like aware. They're like, yeah,
they're in on the joke.
We made a piece of shit, and
yeah.
like it costs like $5,000, and like you know, it's
and
okay.
now I get to make a couple hundred
yeah.
bucks every couple
and,
months.
I'm
like,
glad I found an audience, and
yeah.
like all
yeah.
the actors in Troll 2. They also go, but they're aware of
that
like
nobody's telling this dude. Nobody's like, "Hey man, like stop smiling. They don't like you like that."
Yeah,
nobody's like, "Hey bro, calm down. Like, it's not."
I think at this point, it's long enough past, and he's old enough to like just let this guy live the lie.
Kind of like Winnebago, man.
Oh,
he's
man.
Got a little bit, but he's on both sides of that though.
That was such a weird documentary. I watched that.
Did you see that
months ago? Yeah,
and the whole thing is like, no, these people like you for who you are, just not.
Not really.
For the reason you think.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
Well, that had a happy ending because, like, at the end, like, when he actually did the, when he did, like, the showing and, like, talked to the audience, and he was, like, he's like, I thought all my fans were, like, these idiots, but they're actually, like, smart-witted people like I am, and, like, I enjoy talking to them. So, like, that had a happy ending, unlike this Troll 2 business.
Yeah.
It's like, if he ever, if somebody ever takes the time to just explain what's going on to him, I feel like it's going to break his heart, you know? Like, because he's been living this life for years, you know?
I want to be that when it happens.
I mean, like,
I want to see it. I don't know. I want to see it so bad.
Welcome
to
the ball.
Honestly, guy, I want to do it, but I mean, technology hasn't advanced enough yet, but I want to do, it's like YouTube, but it's just a camera that captures people's faces when they realize shit's not going to work out. And, like, I just want that to be a website.
A YouTube compilation?
Like, no, I mean, just like, you can, no, it's not a YouTube thing. It's like, it's its own entity. It's just a live streaming thing. I want probes that fly around and just, they can sense sadness. And, like,
just drop my iPad.
No, but that's what I've been thinking about for a long time. But I was like, nobody would like that besides, like, me and, like, a couple other dudes.
I would have loved that.
But I'm like, it's something great about, like, when you, like, oh, that's why I love comedy, man. When you see somebody just go from, like, this might work to, like, no, this ain't working.
Yeah.
Like, I love that, that transition to just, oh, fuck it.
The moment they realize is.
Yeah, like
when confidence transitions to panic. You know what I mean?
Oh my god, it's so great.
But it's like hell yeah to like. Oh
we
my god.
Listen, me and Micah heard the loudest comedian we've ever heard in our entire lives last week.
It was
this black dude who literally screamed into the mic for like 6 minutes. You been fucking your wife, bitch! And he was just like screaming,
nigger, like hard
lines, dude. And it was just we don't know why.
He's a black man. So when he says it, it should feel good, right?
No, it doesn't feel dude. Good. And the thing is, it was offensive not by the context. Like he wasn't saying shit like women shouldn't vote or like. He wasn't saying anything coherent. Stuff. He was just saying a bunch of offensive stuff at one time. So it was like, nigger, Nazi, faggot, cunt. Like, it was just a bunch of bad words together.
And it was like Bob Saget of black dudes?
Yeah.
No,
and
like,
and like he would get like really loud, really loud. And he'd back down a little bit. He'd like, you're drawing me in. But it's like by one decimal, but then he would ramp it up. And he would go louder than before. It was crazy. It got to the point where you could literally just be able to crowd.
People were just like covering their ears, leaning back.
It's like, whoa.
It's like Tourette's comedy.
Yeah.
Dude, it's awful. That's why comedy is so painful, man. You gotta deal with yourself not doing bad, and you gotta endure other people not doing well too.
Nothing, like no art is as bad as failed comedy.
Preach!
Yeah, is the worst.
I don't know, man. You see some fucking films people make.
No.
Because
check it out.
Pretty bad.
Construction paper.
No, dude. If I make something bad, and I send it out into the world, if people don't like it, I'm not there for that moment of them not liking it.
True.
Yeah. If you're bad at comedy, people don't like you right then.
Here's
to your face.
To your face.
Here's the thing that for me the reason that I agree with that statement is that. I have never been uncomfortable watching something bad unless it was bad comedy.
Yeah,
and bad comedy exists in movies. It exists in TV shows.
Yeah.
It exists in a lot of different mediums.
Oh, that's true.
And
that stand-up's not as bad as a movie that just doesn't play.
Well, that's the thing, is that bad comedy is one of the only things in my entire life that I'm not even physically there, and I'm like, I can't even watch. Like, watching Mike the Situation Sorrentino try to roast Donald Trump was one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever sat through.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like,
I had to turn it off because
Spider-Man
I was like...
Spider-Man 3!
When somebody tells a joke and like they're excited about it, it's like you were saying when like
they look around like
and then like they say it and like nobody there's just nothing
and
like,
then fucking
they get nothing
crickets.
From, and then yeah and then like they're just sitting there
quiet. I'm biased so only because I've done it, but who at this table has stared down 100+ just dead silent black people?
Oh, black
because
people.
Because you're not like, no, because
I
you're
raised
not,
my hand and told
yeah,
them black people.
Black silence is a different kind of silence.
It's louder.
No, Micah, he's
it's actually louder.
It's like when you try to talk, the silence is louder than your words.
Yeah.
And you just don't matter anymore.
It just like beats your words
alive. It's an ultimate amount of attention and lack of attention. It's crazy.
Yeah. Right?
It's like, a black hole for sound.
Yeah. It really is.
So it's like they're paying attention, but just completely unimpressed. But not to the point where they stop watching you.
It's so rough. Because like you're in purgatory.
Nobody leaves.
Yeah.
They just sit through the whole thing and watch you.
And they dress nice to come. It's an event.
It's crazy.
Ugh.
Black silence is the worst silence.
Yeah.
Okay, so this actually, I remember I said something to you about this. It was a couple weeks after we...
Do you know what time it is?
I got about 10 minutes left, and then we got it. But anyway, I mentioned this to you a couple weeks after we recorded that first episode. I had this kid at work that I work with, a total fucking idiot. And he was trying to tell me how he thinks he's hilarious and everyone else thinks he's hilarious. And I was like, I got a lot of friends who are comedians. And he's trying to explain to me why his jokes are funny. And then he sits there.
Which goes over great normally.
Well, here's the thing. People is love that. Like, he gives me two jokes. And the first one is just terrible and just like, and like poorly delivered and stupid and just punctuated by this face.
Yeah.
Like, and then the second
this
one is
great
like,
for our listeners.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, the really face well. Was like a pouty.
It was like, if you ever seen a
pouty black woman,
it was kind of like more sassy than Blue Steel. You know what I mean?
But then he tells me a Cat Williams joke, like, I'm not going to recognize it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, that's a Cat Williams joke. And he's like, you wouldn't think it's funny. You're not black. And I was like, let me get my friend JD real quick, so he can explain to you that that's not a real thing. Comedy is not exclusive to this is a black person joke. Yeah. This is a white person joke.
I never watch a white dude telling jokes and just like hear nothing. I'm like, oh man, I wish I was white so I could enjoy this dude. He looks like crushing right now, but I just can't. Yeah. I can't tap into that white frequency. No.
The only time that ever happens is when I watch a Hispanic comedian because I don't understand Spanish.
Yeah, George Lopez, he's funny when I can understand him because the half the sets in Spanish and I'm like, I don't speak
Spanish. I'm like, and you're literally talking about something that I don't understand at all because I never lived in
I've never been an illegal alien.
I don't understand what you're fucking
like. The thing is, part of me wants to like have grown up in that situation because he'll say it and everybody's dying immediately. He's like, you ever see the guy who picks oranges and everybody's dying? I'm like, nobody picked oranges where I live.
I don't know about you, but like oranges, Winston-Salem does not grow a whole lot of oranges.
But a lot of Mexicans. It's
but true. A lot of Mexicans.
What are they doing with their time?
Do you still know that guy who told you those two jokes? The bad one and the fake one, I guess?
I do. And like, he is a popular topic at work for this ignorant motherfucker.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, in general, fuck that guy. Like, you tried your own joke, you weren't good at it, and you tried to take another joke and deliver
but
it.
But I almost understand the mindset when you're like, oh, this is my first chance, and I'm kind of bombing already with this one guy. And then you're just like, I can't move him joking.
Like your car's going off the side of the road.
Race card. I'm going to leave with a race card. Yeah.
Like, I was not expecting the white kid with the beard and tattoos to know a Cat Williams joke. And then I was like, I've watched that set like 3 times.
don't like black comedy.
But I don't like black comedy. Yeah. Like, I don't know about you, but like, considering I watched that specific set like 3 times, you're right. I didn't enjoy it at all.
Chris Rock, man, that was
that
was just a bad interaction overall. Yeah. Period between two people.
That didn't go well for anybody.
Yeah, in general, fuck that guy and keep him. I don't know, like people who think that you got black comedy and white comedy. In essence, there's some truth to it because we've done it. You got the white rooms or the predominantly white rooms, and you got the black rooms. Like, so there is...
And it is that black and white because there's nowhere where it's only Chinese people.
Yeah, it's always...
Like, a real Polynesian.
It'll either be mostly white...
Which I think is just a sauce. Is that a place? Don't tell me. If it's a place, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Yeah, it's either white crowds with like a little bit of black people, a little bit of Hispanic people, a little bit of Asian... Like, no, one Asian person. I never see more than one Asian person at a comedy show. Or it's an all
they don't
black
even
room.
Have a date. Just like one Asian dude.
Yeah, it's always just like bounce.
Break dance. Yes.
The one time I had an Asian dude in my show, he just did not like me. Cause I was trying to do crowd work. I was like, "What's up?" I think I said something like, "Hey, where you from, man?" And he was like, Durham, and I was like, nah, bro, for real. And then he was, and then he was, but then he was just like, he folded his arms and just shook his head at me the whole state. Like, I'm, he's like, I'm out now.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was not the classiest way to talk about it. But I was like, you my first Asian dude. Fuck yeah. It. Where you from?
Give me the real shit.
Let's be real right
language.
Now.
I might get it. Who knows?
Oh, but then like, there are the black and the white crowds. But if you're a funny enough comedian like Kevin Hart. Or like fucking Bill Burr.
Yeah.
Both crowds will like you if you're funny enough. Yes. I'm not that level yet. Black people can't stand me. Black
that's
people can't.
So funny.
It's just, there's a certain level where like.
I've done 10 black shows. One went all right. One went all right. All right. Like you could watch it, but it wasn't like, oh, you crushed. Like, oh, you were on stage and you told some good jokes.
And they heard it.
And they heard it.
And they
nothing hit you in the head coming from the audience.
Strange.
Yeah, and now the thing is, that's the first show. I think it's the first show. It's the first show Micah saw me do.
Yeah.
And that was me like a year and some change in.
Yeah.
And that was the reaction I was getting, just like, oh, I mean, you're funny, but
see,
I'm
the thing
laughing.
Is though, they do cash out though when they give it up though, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's like, you know, you're the funniest fucking person.
But also like after the show, people will like shake my hand like, oh dude, you were funny. But I'm like, why didn't you laugh? Like you didn't give me what I wanted when I needed it. You gave it to me way later.
Yeah.
Like you're paying rent late or something like that. It's just
instant gratification.
And then those are the same guys that try to pitch you jokes.
Yeah.
Hey bro, hey young bud, how about this one? So I'm fucking my girl, right? I'm like, automatically, I can't do this joke because I'm not fucking your girl. Yeah. This is you fucking your girl, and I don't want to tell that joke anyway.
Yeah.
I tell you what, if you let her come to my house, I might tell her joke.
Yeah, I'm not saying that to black guys.
Afraid of them.
Yeah, got that right.
So at the end of our show, we do a little thing, picks and plugs, which is basically, plugs is pretty obvious. Like, you just plug anything you want plugged for you guys.
Clearly, okay.
Please plug
the podcast. When will this come out?
By the next couple days.
Yeah, probably tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Yeah. UCC. Wow, yeah, UCC. Just for the both of us, it's the comedy competition run through the Idiot Box in Greensboro. Just go on their website. It'll have when we're up and everything. We're starting the first round. The first round starts like
October 2nd, I think.
October 2nd, and then there's a bunch of first rounds all through the month, then second round, and then the
Friday
finals.
Nights.
Is Friday nights, and then the finals in the Carolina Theater, which is cool.
I was in there last year.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah,
what
it was awesome, man.
The finals are going to be?
Oh, this is January
22nd. January. Okay, cool.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Got some time,
guys. The Carolina Theater is like 1,200 people, so it's an awesome experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're that's a comedian awesome. Or like, if you anybody that just wants to get on stage in front of 200 people, get good at comedy.
So
first.
What's the day that matters? When can I see you again?
Oh, I don't know. My day.
Mine is October 16th, so if you want to come support your boy, do
that. I'm on like a, shit, I don't know.
Well, like a Tuesday.
I'm in a round of people. I don't know what day it is, though.
25th,
maybe. I'm 26.
You're either the 9th.
Maybe on the 9th.
I think he is the 9th.
Yeah, I think
on the
9th.
Out, let us know. We'll make sure.
No, I'm pretty sure on the 9th.
Because that would be 7 days from the 2nd.
Yeah.
And also just the podcast.
Yeah, the open mic is on Instagram, Twitter,
Facebook.
iTunes and RSS.
iTunes and we have a Lips and Link. If you just find any of us on Facebook, every Sunday release episode and sometimes release extra ones on Thursdays.
Yeah, if you want to book me, my credits are Tom Segura and that's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Are we doing plugs first? I actually have some plugs.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jump plug.
I mean, they plug, you plug.
Get plugged.
So,
everybody plug.
First
plugged.
And foremost, Time Machine Drive By has a new bass player. We're going to be playing with him on Halloween.
Nice.
Hit us up either on the Neighborhood Active page or on the Time Machine page, and I'll get you the address. It's a house show deal. Also, me and our guitar player Lauren Pearson are going to be acting in Rocky Horror Picture Show at the Carolina Theater on October 30th.
Are you doing that with Haley Weddington?
Yes.
I'm good friends with Haley. And,
nice.
And her boyfriend Addison. We're all
nice. I just found out I was doing it like 2 days ago. They're like, hey, you want to be Eddie? There's only one rehearsal. Just watch the movie a bunch. And I was like, yeah, sure.
Watch the movie a bunch?
No, it's fair. It's totally fair.
We're just acting the movie out in front of the movie and lip syncing to the songs. And then everybody gets prop bags and they throw the toast and it's the whole night.
Nice. That's cool, man. That'll be fun. It's pretty dope.
So that's the next month. You guys got anything plugged?
Actually, I don't think I do.
I don't either because I haven't had fun in like 2 weeks.
I haven't either. Like full-time work, full-time school makes me want to fucking kill
myself.
Do you
have a pick?
This is weird. I have an anti-pick.
You have something that you want people to actively avoid?
I have something I want people to actively avoid because I had such a miserable time engaging with it.
Okay, it was a Fantastic Four.
No, I suggest you go watch that just so you can be like, yeah, fuck this movie.
Was it Koreans?
No, okay. It wasn't.
That it can be such a problem. I like being racist, like when it's gonna be documented.
I was thinking about like a certain race, and I was like, I can't say that.
I just like doing that whenever I know it's gonna be recorded forever. You know what I mean? Where it'll always come back and get me. Sorry.
I want y'all to edit again. I want y'all to edit something.
We're gonna try in the last 3 minutes of the show to put some really fucked up shit in here, so you guys have to cut it out.
Yeah.
No. As a sci-fi and fantasy nut, something that makes me incredibly angry is how popular Dune is. Dune is fucking horrible. Dune is a book that was made by a guy named Frank Herbert. And I just finished the book a couple weeks ago. And I wanted to burn every fucking copy I could find. It's like, I've never read a book that frustrated me until Dune. Which is amazing because like it's not even like terribly written.
Yeah.
It's just so tedious, and the way that like it's structured is just a big fuck you to anyone that's reading it.
Oh, really?
And it's just like
why are you putting me through all
this
shit?
Is it worse than Game of Thrones?
Oh, man. Like, I haven't even touched Game of Thrones because I'm worried about that.
Okay.
But, like, I somebody told me to get through Dune, and I did. And I immediately wanted to jump off a bridge.
You are such a media masochist.
I hated it, man.
See, I can't get through a book I don't like. I can get through a TV series I don't like.
I had to listen to it on audiobook, and I had to take breaks. Usually I can burn through a fucking, like, a 20-hour audiobook I can usually burn through from going to work and coming to work and driving and like, downtime, like, taking a shit, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I can burn through it in about, like, maximum 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, 20 hours.
That makes sense.
It took me two fucking months. Yeah. To get through, because I kept going, I can't, I have to fucking turn this off, yeah. Or I'm gonna, like, open the fucking hood of my car and drink the gasoline. Like, I just, I can't, like,
I think that's where the gas is stored, but not.
No, like, mine had a leak, mine had a leak spraying gas, and I was like, I'll just put my fucking
It's like a water fountain, that's
actually. I'm gonna rip off the master cylinder, so it just, like, sprays in my face like a water fountain.
So, like, this is and both Chris and John know that I love shitty movies, and like I like shitty things. Like, shitty things are fun to me.
Do you like How I Met Your Mother?
I do.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
It's kind of shitty.
No, it's not. It's definitely
it's totally shitty.
The Sons of Anarchy.
I have never watched it, but no, you're right. Like, fucking, it's a terrible show, mainly because the main two characters are fucking horrible.
The last episode.
And the last
episode. Garbage, bro.
It's such a giant sack of garbage, dude. Colin and I fucking screamed at each other in the face for 10 minutes about how we hated it. But
I
anyway,
still haven't watched it.
Don't. Anyway,
I'm so mad about it.
But like, this is legitimately the only thing I've ever run across in my life where I will, like, legitimately tell people to actively avoid it.
Yeah. Okay.
Because there's just, like, for me, there was no redeeming quality in it.
See, a guy at my job was reading it. He was like, he's read it like 5 times. I love this book. And
I hate Dune. Send that guy my way. We'll have a conversation, and I'll convince him it's a bad book.
Well, at least it's polarizing, you know?
Yeah.
People always say that when it's something real shitty. You know what I mean? They're like, at least people hate it.
Yeah. You guys have anything you want to pick? For people at home?
What's a pick?
So it's really just anything. We usually do like media, like movies or TV
something
shows.
Something you've come across that you
recently?
Like.
Recently?
Yeah.
A website that you love, like a piece of art that you
anything,
fucking love.
Anything
that you
think
is
cool.
Anything you think people should get into.
I got something. I don't think enough people know this artist, Toro y Moi. Maybe a lot of people know him. It's like Toro E and then M-O-I. It's like a French word for the bull and me. But he's just a good-ass artist. Has a couple of albums that are really good. Check him out.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. I want him to collab with Kid Kelly, and I was like, I feel like if I make him more famous by talking about him, they'll meet each other, and then I can hear the music that I want.
Yeah.
You want to pick like one thing?
You can pick two if you want.
I'll pick two. First thing is Until Dawn. It's this PS4 game.
Yeah.
It's this like crazy suspense horror game. Like, it's like you control about 8 people, and then shit starts getting fucked up on a mountain, and you gotta like make decisions. But the cool thing is like every decision you make influences everything else the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Cool. So if you like go through a dude's phone, you might see something. If you don't go through his phone, then you might go somewhere else. Like, it's pretty cool.
If you go, I've seen it. If you go left or right, or if you hide or you run.
Yeah. And so, in the moment you want to run, but like the best thing might be to hide. Like, you know, so stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's cool.
And like, you can pick something, like something to avoid. Since I've been working in sales recently, I say avoid all brown Asians.
Oh, this is your anti-pick.
He's trying so hard to get the pick cut, dude.
No, yeah. I mean that's something I'm honest to God, like
If you're a brown Asian and I talk to you, if I find out you're cool, I'm like, all right, cool. But for the most part, but no, this is like, y'all see my, I'm being dead ass here. They're the only people who will come in saying a number that just can't happen. They're like, they'll point to them like, this mattress, $100. I'm like, dude, that's a $2,000. That's definitely a $2,000 mattress. $150. I'm like, that's still a $2,000 mattress. Like, the price didn't change because you got louder. And I hate the way, oh my God. This one lady said,
it's not happening.
This
right
one lady
now.
Said, she said box spring, but she said, like, she said box, I don't know what it is, but it sounded like a chicken. Box spring. Like, she put so much air in her mouth.
Yeah.
Box spring. Like, and I was like, lady, stop talking to me so I can ring you up. The I was getting so mad. So until Dawn's an amazing game, don't fuck with no brown Asians unless you have to.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
If you have to, all right, man. I'm sorry. If you don't have to, man,
don't do it.
You'll see what I'm talking about.
I hope racism from some
groups. Yeah.
Nah, man, I'm racist as fuck. When I'm doing my shows, man, every white girl is Ashley. Every white girl. Every white girl is Ashley. Every white dude is David or Brian. Period.
Wait, so who's David and who's Brian?
Man, I know you guys. So, I mean, you guys are out
there. Yeah, you guys are out
there. Chris. If I didn't know you, I'm like, yeah, fucking Chester or like Terrence, you know what I'm saying?
Alex, Brian, Trent.
Trent's a good
Trevor.
Curly.
My favorite's Brad.
Me.
Oh, Brad.
That's what I call every ordinary. I'm just like, look, fucking Brad over here.
Tanner.
Skyler.
Skyler's a good. That kid always wears a polo when he fucking votes.
Yeah,
juice.
Leonard.
Nobody's name.
I met a few Leonards, man. But honestly, I met white Leonard and black Leonard. So it's kind of one for one right now.
No. John.
I have like a skip. If we're gonna do an anti pick, I could like anti pick. So
anti pick.
Do we have time for a short story? I'll try to. I can make it brief.
Oh yeah, make it brief. Okay. We'll do that.
Like I was in Crown Point, Indiana, for my grandfather's funeral recently, and like everything in Crown Point has sucked. Like and like I'm not mad at it. Like just because that's where he was.
Yeah.
But like the organ player at the funeral sucked and was like couldn't hold the tempo. And it was like so hard. It was painful for me as like somebody who used to play music.
But maybe that was the point. She was like, I want people to really grieve.
To really suffer.
The way that we all are.
The pastor, he tied his tie so that like, it was like the skinny and the fat part were like parallel. Like,
oh, did he bolo tie a fucking regular tie?
No, it wasn't like it was like a failed tie knot that was just sideways, so like you could see both.
He was like good enough.
He was like, bro, this is dope. He's like, I saw some new shit right now.
Yeah. We went to this like place to eat after the showing, and like it was like 9 o'clock, but it was like the type of place I'd only eat at if it was like 3 a.m. and nothing else was open.
Oh man!
And like. There was this bar I went to, this amazingly like weird bar, because like they had a great selection of beer, like in terms of bottles, not in terms of taps. They had decent liquor, and so like I went there with my dad and my brother, and like I was like, I'll have an old fashioned. Bartender did not know what an old fashioned was. Like she didn't know, and I was like, it's bourbon, but I'd like to make one. I'd like to try one with rye because that's like a classic thing. And I was like. I know you don't have sugar cubes, so just like put some simple syrup in there. And I was like, some bitters. She was like, we don't have bitters. And I was like, what the fuck kind of bar is this?
Yeah.
Dude, I had a fucking bartender who didn't know that there was such thing as a stout.
Wow.
Whoa.
But anyway, like, she made it the best she could, and it was all right. And then, like, we were there for a little while longer, and, you know, we were going to get a second round. And she was, like, talking about how she was a gin drinker. And I was like, well, can you make me a Tom Collins? Didn't know what Tom Collins was.
Oh, God!
Like,
My go-to.
That's strange. Two of, like, the two classic American drinks that are, like, 40 years old.
Especially
and,
if you're somebody who drinks gin.
For somebody who drinks gin.
It's not like,
and, like, oh, it was just, it was so bizarre. Like, and all she knew.
It's almost painful.
She was like, well, when people order whiskey, they just either get it with Coke or on the rocks. And I was like, I guess, like, if that's your experience, but, like, yeah, everything to Crown Point, Indiana sucks and don't go.
I like picking things to avoid in the end. I like, we start doing that.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
We should do weeks of anti-picks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got like, a bunch of stuff in my head. I'm like, don't do that, don't do that. Don't look at those come-to-church black posters in the mall.
Don't see American Sniper.
Yeah.
Worst movie ever created.
Yep.
And the history of man on all fronts, directing, acting, script, the people that breathing near the set.
Don't,
all terrible.
Yeah.
I don't want to run any longer, but do not.
Yeah, don't watch How Much Your Mother if you haven't watched it yet.
I actually have a pro pick.
Okay.
And my pro pick is there's this documentary on Netflix called Exporting Raymond, and the setup sounds awful. It's basically Everybody Loves Raymond, or Everyone Loves Raymond, whatever it's called, got picked up to air in Russia. And so the creator had to go to Russia and sit down with the Russian production team to figure out how best to translate the humor and the scripts and stuff to a Russian audience.
Oh, wow.
And so I understand that Everyone Loves Raymond stink on it, but being able to watch the process of a TV, of an American show being totally torn apart, ripped down, and built back up for an entirely different culture while trying to keep its essence, but yet market that. It was absolutely fascinating.
That is
like,
cool. What's it called again?
It was called Exporting Raymond.
Exporting Raymond.
And I also got, once you get to see the creator of Everybody Loves Raymond, you realize that show was like, you get a new appreciation for that show, because you're like, this man is just a sad bastard, and he legitimately thinks this is hilarious.
Yeah.
That's so Raymond. Everybody, like, what's it? That's so Raymond?
That's so Raymond.
No, Everybody Loves Raymond got some moments, though. I like,
yeah.
I mean, he's got some moments. Like, the funniest dude is his brother.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, but it's super cool. Especially
I like
because,
his mom, though. And I like the whole mom, dad, the grandma thing. I thought
the
show was fun.
The thing that was most interesting to it, as far as the Everyone Loves Raymond aspect of it, is that all of Russia's popular... First of all, Russia's only had sitcoms for the past 10 years. The first one was The Nanny.
What?
Yeah, that was the first Russian sitcom, was a Russian version of The Nanny. But so, they've only had sitcoms for 10 years, but all of their sitcoms are super over the top. Don't look real. Like, three wall fucking apartments. Just terrible, terrible. But they're over the top and just, like, obnoxiously...
So like Mexican Telemundo daytime TV kind of...
Yes,
kinda,
just
yeah.
ridiculous. And they're trying to take a, like, anti-humor, depressed humor show translate it for an audience that's used to seeing, like, I Love Lucy levels of craziness.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So nobody in Russia makes sitcoms? Like, they just don't do that there?
I think all the sitcoms...
They're not a funny
about,
people.
All the sitcoms
yeah,
they talk
yeah,
about in the movie were adaptations of American sitcoms.
They just stick to wars, man. They just stick to, like...
They don't even need to be in wars. Like, all they gotta do is just stay in their cold-ass fucking country and nobody will fuck with them because
the most gangster shit I've seen in my entire life was the Russian president held a press conference and then gave the reporters questions that they could ask him. He was like, yeah, open forum, but yeah, don't say shit about none of this stuff. And everybody was just quiet. And he was like, yeah, yeah, I like this. Like, that's the whole thing. He's like, yeah, I'm powerful.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys know, but like, you ask the wrong question, you die tomorrow.
Yeah. He's like, I'll blow up everything. I don't care.
I'm telling him, turn the cameras off, shoot you in the face.
Right here.
Shit, take a picture.
So thank you guys for tuning in.
We'd like to
thank JD and Micah for being here.
You gonna edit?
Probably not. Fuck it.
Nah, I don't think so.
Oh shit!
I think
the last time you hit like the one topic.
I know what it was, man. Yeah. And that joke's funny as shit. I'll tell you in the car. Right. That joke's funny as shit. All
right. He's not wrong. It's pretty funny. Thank everybody for tuning in. As always, I'm Alexander Fulmer.
I'm Chris Nielsen.
And with us, as usual, as of late here,
John Michael Thomas.
And once again, thanks to the guests for coming in.
Yes.
Yeah,
always a pleasure.
It was fun.
Subscribe to the Open Micers. Help these guys out.
Yeah, do that.
Help us out. Give them love.
And you guys have a wonderful, wonderful night. And since Colin's not here,
go touch some butts.